and certainly nothing we'll discuss tonight is meant to be halacha lamaisa, but this is a real sugya halacha, and it's certainly worth discussing, especially in light of the fact that the Gemara seems to connect it to our parsha. In the beginning of the parsha, towards the when Yaakov is en route in the pasuk Perach Chavches. Yaakov has his famous dream, and he wakes up, Zeshara Shamayim, and then at the end of the parak, it's a weird group of psukim in its own right, the kind of deal he makes with Hashem, and we've already discussed, but the main thing for us tonight is Yaakov then tells Hashem, Eben Azos, Shasanti, Matseva, Yeh Beis Elokim, this will be a Matseva, this is the place. Some of us were just there 2 weeks ago, Mamish by Shara Shamayim, you go on the Kotel Tunnels tour. Your mamish is corresponding, parallel to the cornerstone of the world. But then the pasuk continues, V'chol asher titein li. When I was a kid, I made this deal with Hashem. They say that being rich is in the Sion, I'll take it. Test me. So that's what, superficially, that's what Yaakov says. He says, everything you'll give me a lot. Everything you'll give me, aser a'asrenu lach. I'll give you. I'm willing to give. So the Gemara, interesting, in the Masechta Ksubis, on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, discusses a number of what appear to be takanos of Usha. We've seen these takanos. It was a productive legislative session in Usha. There are a number of takanos throughout Shas that are attributed to this group, and one of them is the following: Amar Rabbi Lot, Usha Hitkinu. Hamavazvez, and I'm not sure what the literal translation of Hamavazvez is, what the best literal translation is, but the import is clearly someone who's throwing money around. It's not talking about just someone who's looking to scrape by. Hamavazvez, someone who's got money to spend. Nevertheless, you would think that there's no limit. How much money can you spend on mitzvahs? Gevaldik, it's a wonderful thing. Spend more and more. Says the Chachamim, Hamavazvez, al yavazvez yosher mechomish. You shouldn't spend more than a fifth of your assets. I'm not going to get into like the Meister Ksufim issues, like Ramosha Feinstein has tshuvas, before taxes, after taxes, liquidity, we want annuities, capital gains. I'm not going to discuss that kind. But simply, before things were complicated, people had a little money, they kept it in the cookie jar. So one fifth, that is what you're supposed to spend. That is the max. Where does this come from? So the truth is, there's two things we need to mention. Number one is, even though it's not explicit in this Lashon, the clear gist of the Gemara and Rashi on down, understand that the Gemara here is talking about a specific mitzvah. Tzedakah. Rashi says, Hamavazvez la'anim. We'll have to see if we can broaden the discussion. The first thing is, Rashi tells us talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So we'll say, I want to give tzedakah, I want to give it all away. We have people like that. Right? Their children aren't so happy. The rest of the world's thrilled. The question is whether that's a good thing. So the Gemara seems to say no. Hamavazvez al yavazvez yosher mechomish. So then Rashi continues. Where do you get the chomish from? Rashi says the pasuk was. So let's continue. I'm sorry, I stopped too early. So what's the? How does this connect to our parsha? Tanya nami hachi hamavazvez al yavazvez yosher mechomish. And here's an important thing. What's the reason? You'll say, why shouldn't I be able to give all my money away? It's my money. Why not? So the Gemara, Shami Yitzarech Labrios. What good is it going to do if then you become impoverished? So we'll have to support you. Better you should be able to keep a certain principle and be able to help as much as people as possible. But if you'll give it away, so then they'll have, but then they'll have to give you. So the redistribution of wealth is not a religious goal. It's others' socialist goal. It's not a religious goal. We're not interested per se in that. Where does this all come from? So first of all, the Gemara quotes Meislam, examples, stories that show this. So Meislam Echad, Shvikis Levaz Veiz, Yosar Mechomer, someone wanted to give away more money. Lo Aniach Lo Chavero, Umanu. So they quote different stories, different versions of the stories, perhaps even won't even include Rabbi Akiva, that show that they had a friend, someone wanted to give away all their money, and the great Rabbanim said, no, all you Vazveiz don't give more than one-fifth. Where does it all come from? Amr of Nachman, the Itamer of Acha, Bar Yaakov, Mai Kra. How do we know such a thing? Who should you shouldn't be able to give away more of your money? Who said that you shouldn't give more than a fifth away? My crow, what's the pasuk? So the Gemara quotes our pasuk. V'chol asher titein li Yaakov says to the Baruch Shalom, Asrer aser asranu lach. Now the truth is the Gemara stops there. I mean the Gemara doesn't stop, the Gemara continues. But the point ends. There's no fleshing out. I could read that pasuk 100 times. I wouldn't have come to any conclusions of Mavazveis. So Rashi fills in the gap. Rashi tells us, because the aser, asrenu, there's two lashonos in the pasuk of aser. Aser is meiser, one-tenth. Shnei isurin havu luhu chomish. The truth is they discuss here, other places, well, you know, just if you wanted to be precise, Gemara continues, we'll paraphrase. Let's say I have $100. So if I give away one-tenth, that's 10. But then if I give away a second-tenth from what I have left, which is 90, then I'm only giving 9. So I'm giving 19. I'm not giving 20%. I'm not giving chomesh. I'm giving slightly less. So the Gemara says that's why there's asren-u. That second that vav, you should give meiser from it. What's it? So the Gemara darshins, it the second time, meaning the same way you gave the first time. Just like you gave 10 the first time, it should be the equal of the first meiser should be the second meiser. So to take a simple example, your two tens will be equal, meaning you'll equal ultimately 20% or one-fifth a chomish. That is the Gemara. This notion is mentioned in some other places in Shas, but this is the main place that stresses this, or introduces us to this notion. So the first issue, before we see how broad or not this halacha is, to understand the relationship between the halacha and the pasuk. In other words, is this a mitzvah? Is this a mitzvah? Wrong word, maybe. A din d'oraisa? Is that really what we learned from Yaakov? So there's a number of different formulations in the Rishonim and Achronim to try to understand this. Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he says, no, really mid'oraisa, you have to spend all your money. Got to give it all away. But Chazal used the power of Yesh Koach B'yad Chachamim to limit it to a chomesh. Chazal understood it would be a bad idea. Over generosity is also not a good thing. Mana nili mili. And therefore, Chazal said, keep it at that. Along the same lines, but just adding a little bit, the Netziv in his Chedushim, the Merom Eisada, Amabakama Daftaz Amad Beis, also holds Mikra Din, you should have had to give all your money away. But the Takana is one of Kavod Habrios. In other words, the Chazal will worry about your dignity. And as you'll be very generous and open-hearted, you'll see the dignity of this poor Nebuch, this guy, he's poor, you want to help him. But again, as the Gemara says, you'll impoverish yourself. What about your own dignity? And therefore, once we put it into the category of Kavod HaBrios, so then we have a concept, Gemara quotes in other places, B'mokom Kavod HaBrios, Yesh Koach HaChamim, Lakor, Davar Min HaTorah. What does that mean? So with certain examples, either if it'll be a mitzvah, the Rabbanan, or B'sheva Altasef, the Chazal will tell you not to actively violate, but passively. So here also, we're telling you passively, don't give more. Be passive, only give the fifth, and that way preserve your Kavod HaBrios. Good. The question is, so what does that relate to the pasuk? But yeah, we'll see. Good. I have no answers for getting back to Yaakov. I mean, I could think about it with you, but I don't have information. I did not trace it back to Yaakov in that sense. Yes. In other words, in general, that's just an important halacha to know. The Shulchan Aruch, Bailu from the Rambam, is very consistent always that the principles of tzedakah are not class-based. Aniyim have to give tzedakah too. How much they'll give. I was just looking at the end of during when they were doing the Mishnah al Adaf, the Chachmas Adam. So I was just perusing quickly the first few halachos he has in Nechus Tzedakah. So he writes there explicitly, we know that in different types of taxes or other communal obligations, there's different ways to figure out how much different people should give. Sometimes we say it's just a, if you will, to borrow the term, a flat tax. How many people in the city divide the cost of fixing the roads? And other times we say it's tali b'mamon. The richer people have to give more, the poor people give less. So the Chachmas Adam, I saw just very quickly, he says explicitly that tzedakah is obviously lufi mamon. The wealthier people have to give more, the less wealthy people will give less. But in principle, everyone has to give. I said before, I'm not getting into anything super fancy. Income already, that distinction relates to my success. How much money did I make? I don't want to get into that now. Interestingly, a very, very fascinating approach is suggested by the Vilna Gaon. I believe that Maram Shik says something like this as well, but this is more known as the Vilna Gaon Shita. There's a Yerushalmi in Masech Tepeyo. The truth is, I've wanted to do this. I've never had a chance to do this. I would really, maybe in a sabbatical year, this would be one of my projects, which is to go through and do a systematic, because really these type of things need to be done systematically in order to be really done well, to study what would be the Jewish approach to social welfare. In other words, how much, there's a certain instinct, certainly in the broader Jewish community, that Judaism equals liberal Democrat in terms of these type of taxes. And I'm not saying, I'm not prejudging it. I'm saying is, I don't think that most of the people who espouse that necessarily are familiar with all the tradition, let's put it that way. So really a composite discussion of the halachos of Lakat Shikha. And hey, the truth is, so where would I start if I wanted to do such a study? You start with the Yerushalmi Masechta Peah, the Mishnayos and the Yerushalmi. That's the one body of Talmudic text that we have that is primarily focused on this. But you go to the Rambam, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, and I don't know where I'd end up, but I'd have a paper hopefully, maybe a grant or something, who knows? Maybe we could all get the money back. But, you know, to really see that question. But Lamaisa, one of the places where you would expect things like this are in Masechta Peah. And in fact, it's there is a parallel Gemara to ours here in the context of Tzedakah in the beginning, Parak Aleph Lach Aleph of Masechta Peah. And there, I didn't write down. I did. So there's different answers to questions, but one of the Lashonos of the Gemara is the following: Kach Haisa Halacha Biyadam V'Shakchuha V'Amdua Hashneim V'Hiskimu Aldas Rishonim. What does that mean? Says the Vilna Gaon the following. Really, this halacha is midaraisa halacha l'moshe misinai. Not like the Nitziv said, not like the Chasam Sofer said. Really, 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 the Torah is the one who tells you, don't have to give all your money away. But, somehow this halacha got lost, it got forgotten. Now, if I wanted to extrapolate the Al-Derech Drush, you know, Yisrael Rachmanim Haim, Gomlim Chasadim Haim, you know, we see this to this very day. Right? Jews just want to give everything away. So somehow they were so generous, they forgot that the Torah said, don't be so generous. There's a downside to it. And then, says the Vilna Gaon, came along the Chazal in the time of the Takaras Usha, and that's what the Gemara says, it was forgotten, and then they brought it back to the original halacha. It's a very, you can imagine why this is well known. It's weird. You don't expect to see something like this. It was forgotten, and then they brought it back. Because again, obviously what he's struggling with the Gra is that the Gemara does say, refer to it as a Takanas Usha. Yet the Yerushalmi implies, as the Gra understands it at least, that it was really a Halach L'moshe Misinai. The truth is, if you look in the Torah Tamima in our Pasuk, the Torah Tamima quotes this Gra, and the Torah Tamima says, this Lashon of the Yerushalmi, I didn't have a chance to look inside, but he said, if you look in Masechta Shabbos in the Yerushalmi, in Perek Aleph Lacha Dalet, there the Yerushalmi is discussing a famous group of 18 Gzeros, and there the Yerushalmi uses the same Lashon, and it's clear that those are Derabanan. So he, so to speak, attacks the Vilna Gaon's proof. Plus he points out, again, the Vilna Gaon seems to be focused on the Yerushalmi, but he also points out that that in our Gemara, where it says, Maikra, is it Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Maikra, and then we quoted our pasuk from Yaakov. So he points out, tremendous bekiyus the Torah Tumah had, that if you look at the Ramban, in his comments on the Sefer Mitzvos, in Shoresh Aleph, we mentioned before, that before the Rambam gives you his 613 Mitzvos, he gives you his rules for how did he decide which Mitzvos are counted and which Mitzvos aren't. Because we all know there's a lot more than 613 Mitzvos. But which are the 613? So the Rambam gives you his Shoreshim, and the Ramban sometimes argues on those as well, not just on the details later on, but even on the principles he argues. So in the comments of the Ramban in Shoresh Aleph, he points out that whenever the Gemara uses that question of a Maikra, it means it as an Asmachta, does not mean it as a Daraisa. And I would just point out that that does not, I would defend the Gra. Again, I'm not willing to stand behind that shadow of the Gra. It's a little bit unconventional for my taste. But I would defend the Gra from the Torah Tamima on two levels. Number one is, he's quoting the Bavli, the Gra was talking about the Yerushalmi. But more than that, I have a better answer, really, even against the Torah Tamima. But the Gra didn't say that it's a direct makor from our Parsha. The Gra says, Halach L'moshe Misinai. The fact that Usha was reestablishing it, so then they hung their hat on this pasuk from our Parsha. But the Gra says that it's Halach L'moshe Misinai. It's the fact that it's a micro lashon. Again, from that perspective, I don't think the Gra would be, too worried. Whether his shot makes sense or not, how strong it is a different question. A final pshat, one which I think perhaps has the most going for it, is something which the Aruch HaShulchan says. This is the Nechus Tzedakah, Reish Mentes, Sif Katan Hay. And the Aruch HaShulchan says as follows. The principle and concept that you shouldn't give all your money away, since that's common sense. Common sense, like the Gemara sometimes says, Svara is Daraisa. That's from the Torah. After all, so then you'll be poor. I mean, the whole thing, it doesn't make any sense. Of course you can't give all of your money away. What would you do? Forget poor in the sense of quality of life. How would you fulfill other mitzvos? It doesn't make any sense that the Torah would have you give away your money for one mitzvah so you couldn't fulfill other mitzvos. So, in principle, he says it's a Daraisa idea. But who set the bar at Chomesh? Who decided it's one-fifth, and not one-eighth, and not one-tenth, and not one-fourth? So that's the Takanas Usha. That's where Chazal, right? Whether it was infinite wisdom, whether it was spiritual wisdom, whether they consulted with the economists of their day, I don't know. But they came up with the notion that it should be one-fifth. That was their structure they superimposed. But the principle that there has to be something, there's got to be some limit, so that's just common sense, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's already a Daraisa or a more of a divine-inspired concept. Now, until now, we've been speaking about tzedakah. The question is, as the title of the shiur I gave implies, really, to what extent, if at all, is this applicable to mitzvahs in general? Right now, we've been talking about tzedakah. Rashi says, "Mavazvez la'anim." We were talking about tzedakah in the Gemara and Ksubas. Pidyon Shvuim has its own rules, but Pidyon Shvuim is the chiyuv on the tzibur. It's not a chiyuv on any one person. Right? And even then, the Gemara says, even though you're supposed to give, you know, to spend whatever you can to be Pidyon Shvuim, even the Gemara says there are going to be limits. For example, if it's going to create an environment in which they'll just take more. Yeah, they'll take more. Right? This is the life story of the Marami Rutenberg. As Marami Rutenberg died in jail. Not because the Goyim couldn't be bought. The Goyim could have been bought. And it wasn't because the Jews didn't care enough about the Marami Rutenberg. They did. But the Marami Rutenberg didn't let them. He said, don't, because if you'll redeem me, then they'll come after the other Gedolim. Again, the Marami Rutenberg's life was tragic. He was the Chavrus of the Mordechai. The Mordechai was killed by Kiddush Hashem. These were the Karbonis of the Crusades. The Mordechai was killed. They ran away. The Marami Rutenberg... Some right, the rush made it all the way out of rush ran away. The Mordechai got killed, and the Marami Rutenberg went to jail. I believe, again, if my history is correct, I believe that's the story of those three. But that's an example where Pidyon Shvuim was limited because there's such that concept. The Tosfos in Masechta Bava Kama and Daf Tes implies that, in a very technical sense, in a formal way, the halacha of Mevazveis and Chomesh is limited to tzedakah. So, what about when it comes to other mitzvahs? Right, there was this big scare how much the lulavim were going to cost this year. It used to be that there were no lulavim, right? People of earlier generations want to recall. I heard more than one person tell me that just this year. But I remember when they were a kid growing up, someone was telling me I was in the Neri Yisrael base medrash. There was two lulavim in the whole base medrash. I'm not talking about 100 years ago. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, people didn't have, right? We all grew up, almost, I think everyone, even I, grew up with a shul which had a lulav in the front. For the people who wouldn't have to shake. Right? You don't have that anymore. I looked around once on Chalmoid and here, at the 8 o'clock minyan, there wasn't a single person. The only person who didn't go around for a shanas happened to be an oval. But even he had a lulav. Everyone's got a lulav. But this year there was a big shiloh with the Egypt and the bugs and imports and tariffs. Okay, in the end it didn't really materialize. It went up $5. It wasn't a big deal. But what if it had gone up hundreds of dollars? What would you be obligated to do? So the Tosfos says the halacha of al yivaz yosher mechomish seems to be limited in a formal sense to tzedakah, but his lashon is that you shouldn't spend hon rav, a great deal of money, on other mitzvos. But by not using the term chomish, it appears that that's a lower number, so you don't have to spend tzedakah. Maybe you really have to give up to one fifth. But now, who will decide what's a great amount? So that also may depend, right? The wealthier person, it's a little bit more. The poorer person, it's a little less. But some more significant sum, some significant amount of money. That's hitter mitzvah. Okay, that's this Gemara. That's the Gemara that Tosfos is talking about. But again, that halacha is as follows: that if it would cost, again, without getting into how you figure out the third, but the idea is if the regular esrog would cost you X, so you have to spend up to one third more. You should spend up to one third more than that to get a mehudar esrog. But the question here is more basic: to get an esrog at all, do you have, why can't you say I can't afford it? There's such a concept in halacha. We'll see it eventually in this year tonight, but we know there's such a concept as onus in halacha. It's out of my hands. I got, the lightning strikes. Onus mammon is considered an onus. That's discussed in other contexts, not just here in general. Right? If someone makes a tanai, halacha will be X if I can do Y, and then in the end, he can't do Y. No pun intended. Why not? So not because, the river swelled and the bridge went down. Let's say the market changed, and all of a sudden now he can't afford it. But he wants to do it. I'm going to divorce my wife if I don't buy the ring to make up with her for the fight we just had. So he wants to buy the ring, but then all of a sudden, the market shifted, and now it costs $1 million to buy the ring. So he's screaming, I love her, I don't want to get divorced. So the shot, is that an onus or not? It's an onus moment. So the question is here, I want to buy Lulav, but I can't afford it. Or do I have to? Do we say there's an amount? So it seems like Tosfos says that more firm, rigid amount of the fifth would not apply. However, the poskim all note it's an earlier source. It's really a Ravid quoted in the Beis Yosef, but no one really quotes it so much as that. It became very famous because the Rama quotes it. The Rama in Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav. This is in Hilchos Dalet Minim. He quotes this notion, and he basically again broadens the idea that the halacha of hamavazves, it was said originally about tzedakah, but tzedakah is an example. He applies it across the board on a formal level to other mitzvos. You want to know how much money you have to spend on mitzvos? So the Rama, look at the Gemara in Ksubis, look at the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, hamavazves, al yavazves, yoser mei chomish. So there are two famous examples that are exceptions to that rule. Why? We've discussed in other contexts the best answer that I know of, which is given by the Avnei Nezer and also by some other Chassidish poskim, distinguish between Pesuminisa and other things. Namely, why should that make a difference? So the way he points out is as follows, is that this notion, just as I alluded to, that there's such a thing as an onus, I can't afford it, so it's out of my hands. So he says, onus only applies to my chiyuv. I can't do it. I have a chiyuv to do X to put on tzitzis. I can't afford it. Okay, so I won't do it. But when when the kiyum of a given mitzvah is presumi nisa, Chanukah being the best example, but it's not the original example. The original example is Dalet Kosos. So then, my chiyuv is not just for me. It's that I'm supposed to be educating, sharing this with the world. So what is my unfortunate financial situation? Okay, so that potters me. That doesn't help Yenim. It doesn't help the guys in the street. We're not going to see the big, Chabad menorah, if we don't put it up, they're not going to know about it. So he says, if it's a chiyuv just for, if the chiyuv is just for my own sake, so then my poverty potters me. But when the chiyuv is to help somebody else, to educate somebody else, so then that's his suggestion why Chanukah and Dalet Kosos would be different. Maybe there are other answers to the question.
It's not to help someone else. I mean, it's not, doesn't it doesn't involve
It's not 100% clear. Again, these are great topics, but they're not tonight's topic. But it's a major issue, which is not only, so to speak, hashkafic, I think it's halachic also, which is what is the kiyum of tzedakah? There's no question, both commentantically, and I could point to specific Rishonim who say that the kiyum is to put money in the guy's pocket to help him out. There's a tshuva, the Rashba, other things. But, there's a very strong argument, and the Rambam seems to take this approach, that perhaps the ikker kiyum of tzedakah is for the giver, not the recipient. So if that's the case, it's not so simple. Okay, these are great topics, but they're a little bit far afield, yeah.
But doesn't Tosfos say that parsumis is for yourself, not for other people?
Which Tosfos?
Shach
Zachanukah. Oh, he's saying ikker
parsumis. So that's already, that's an issue. If you're thinking of that topic, so that's, I think, more of a b'dyevid reality. Yeah, that's given the fact that it's too dangerous to light outside. So now it happens to be halacha lemaisa. Now we're really jumping. Halacha lemaisa, we say nowadays, ikar pesumei nisa is not on the street. it's in the house, and this is a nafkamina. You know, the whole issue of if it's too late, if there'll be no, if the streets are quiet, which in Baltimore it gets a lot earlier than where I used to live. Right? It's a nafkamina to know that. Right? They used to ask the brisker Rav, you know, how late can you light? And he lived near a movie theater, and he knew about the movie theater. Against the notion that he was just in halachah, he actually knew about the movie theater. So he said, whenever they finish, whenever the last showing is over, that's when you can't light till then, because the streets were quiet. Then the streets were quiet. That's the famous brisker Rav. So that's right, the movie theaters aren't so open so late apparently in Baltimore. It's a quiet city. You drive down. I will come home from the shir tonight. You'll see one person on the road. Right? Certainly in Green Spring, his place is empty. So Lamaisa, though, it doesn't matter. Usually we say you can light all night, but if it's Ashutech L'Rogim Rishukin, you should make a bracha. But now we say, assuming that someone's going to be up, if everyone goes to sleep in your house, someone will be there. But if you'll stay up, someone will be up in the house, so we would make a bracha. But in general, the notion of Bersum Nisa is certainly to be exporting the knowledge. Yes. It's a completely separate. Now, how did we know that? Who said? So that's in that same Ramah, from the same sources, a Rashba and a Ravid. That's right there. But that's a separate shear. What is that? Correct. Yeah, Losa say is a whole. Huh? But that's not clear that that's what it means for any Losa say. I mean, on its own, that's not per se. That wouldn't be so clear. The truth is that even the Ramah, who speaks in more broad terms, he's even eclipsed further by the Rambam. The most explicit, even more than the Ramah, the most explicit application of this halacha to mitzvahs in general comes from a Rambam. The Rambam happens to be Nedevichos Erchin, and the Rambam, as he sometimes does when he's at the end of halachos, this is Parakhas Halacha Yud Gimel, where it's not only Nedevichos Erchin, it's actually the end of all Sefer HaFlah of the Rambam. So very often, Hilchos Mikvos, there's a few examples where the Rambam at the end of the Sefer will wax poetically, hashkafically, musr, and the Rambam really gives a guy a clap on the head. He says to give away, to just spend all your money, doesn't make any sense, it's not a mitzvah chassidus, it's a mitzvah tipshus. He gives you a whole musr, once you're looking in that rationale, it makes sense why it's not going to be limited to, it's not any smarter to give your money away for the lulav than it is to give all your money away for the tzedakah. It doesn't make sense to give all your money away for a mitzvah. What's the Rashba, the Ravid, what's the rationale? Just, again, it's not just the common sense, which is true, but they add the notion, just to give it more halachic teeth, because if you'll make yourself completely impoverished, you'll be an ani. Halacha is ani, chashav kemes, Ravid says. So, if an ani is chashav kemes, and the halacha is v'chai behem, so you don't have to give your money, you don't have to put yourself in such a perilous situation. We didn't get to that yet. We didn't. We're going to get to that. In fact, I'm thinking about right now what to skip. If not, let's see where we're going. It's fine. One thing I'll just mention, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip it, but it's a chunk of your Mar Makomas here, is the following. It relates really to Alan's question, and that is that there seems to be a notion, which I don't want to get into in the parameters and the details, there's a notion quoted by the Ramah and others, that this is all true only for Aseis, but for a Los Aseis, to avoid eating trey, for example, you have to give away even all your money. Frak Akasha, many achronim ask, tzedakah has an assay and a los assay. Right? Los ames, los akpots.
You're not being kosher. If you give 20% of your money away, you're not being
kosher. Oh, so, but that could be an answer. But many achronim, at least on the surface of it, say no. If I limit myself from giving, if I'm stingier than I could be, there's still money left that I'm withholding and the guy needs it, so it's not a violation. It's like, I usually don't give more than a chomash. Yeah, but that's for the assay, but for the los assay, I don't have to give away all my money. But, so there's four or five different answers that are given in the achronim, but perhaps the best answer would be if Sam is correct, that the whole thing would never get off the ground, because that's not a violation of the los assay. But at least in the question, and certainly some of the answers, do seem to be assuming that it would be a good question. Another area where this where this is tested, and perhaps maybe would be an exception to the rule, at least needs to be understood more, actually dovetails with our Gemara Shir, where we're going to get to, not this Shabbos, but in a few weeks, which is one of the next sugya on Daf Chav Tes, where we've been doing Mila the last few weeks. The next sugya on that Gemara is Pidyon HaBen. And one of the Gemaras that we'll see is a very tragic story of a family that's very, very poor. And not only were they poor, but I don't know the exact scenario, but somehow they were not exactly wealthy from a religious perspective, either to the extent that you now have a father, Nebuchadnezzar, who doesn't have that much money anyway, who has a son who's ready to have a pidyon haben, and he now realizes that he never had a pidyon haben. He's also Bechor, but he's only got 5 shlomim. He scratches together the 5 shlomim. He's got 5 silver dollars, what's he going to do? The Gemara asks, who should he be poda himself or his son? That's the question. Back and forth. So, those who want to know more about that will have to come on Shabbos. Not this week either. So you have to already come this week in case it will be this week or next week or the week after. But, what do you see from this, the Bir Halacha, on that Ramah, top person of the Bir Halacha and others ask. Bottom line is, the Gemara says, should the boy, give the father have the money? I have a better question. Whoever you spend the 5 shlomim on, apparently the guy's got nothing left. So now he has no money. Good, so he doesn't have to do the son, he should do himself, or he does himself, not himself. Shouldn't it be better? You should say he's pater completely. That's the Bir Halacha's question. So there's a number of answers to this question. The Bir Halacha himself gives an interesting, if you will, economics answer. He says it depends. Is the guy living off of savings or other accumulated wealth? So then, you know, like this is true for, this is a mentality, people who are retired, and this is especially true for almanas, they have a tendency sometimes to be more stingy than they were just a year ago. What happened? They didn't all of a sudden switch personalities. There's a mindset. We're not earning more money. Right? Fixed income. The money's running out. So says the Bir Halacha, someone who only has X amount of money, and he's spending it. So then he has to be more careful. Hamavazves, don't give more than 1/5. But ironically, someone who may actually have less money in the bank. You asked about wealth. Someone who's actually, but he goes to work and he makes enough money to buy each week. So then he might as well give it all away because it's not going to be, what did the Gemara say? Star Chalabrios. He's not going to all of a sudden become poor because he's going to go to work and he'll punch the time card and he'll get the next paycheck. It's a little bit of a funny answer, but that's what the Bir Halacha. Who's talking about Meiser?
So Saul too is no sin of giving tzedakah from wealth. I mean, in terms of tzedakah.
This is not tzedakah per se. This is even for a mitzvah. This is the pidyon haben question. Another answer which the Bir Halacha himself gives, and it's also quoted one of the great previous century, really, great achronim from the Beis Medrash of the Avnei Nezer, was the Chalkas Yoav, or Yoav Weingarten. So he has 2 volumes, Tshuvas, and one of the essays is really very lumdish stuff. So one of them is his essay on Kutras Bedine Onus. He goes through all the different scenarios where people might have, you know, what insurance companies would call acts of God, things that get in their way from doing mitzvahs. So in Anav Zayin, he discusses this issue. He also says something similar to the Bir Halacha in his second answer, which is the following, that perhaps we could make the distinguish, again, this is another interesting economics type of approach. It depends. It says, are you paying fair market value or not? Let's say you find yourself who knows where, and the guy's got a lulav. So he's exploiting the heck out of you. So the bottom line is, you still have a mitzvah to shake lulav. So you'll ask yourself, ask the rabbi, no, he's taking me for a ride. How much do I have to overpay to fulfill the mitzvah? Mark Suba, stop. Nun, Yosef and Achomish. You have to give, even though you're getting taken advantage of, you have to pay over market, you have to pay over price. Up to 1/5 of what your value is. Good. But if the market price is itself expensive, or even better yet, in Pidyon Haben, where the mitzvah is the money, it's not some actually, the mitzvah is fixed, the Torah said how much it costs. So then they suggest then the whole halacha of Avazves does not apply. Another answer, which the Chazon Ish seems to indicate, is that we can distinguish, I alluded to this before, similar to what I said. Chazon Ish says it depends on whether the money is the Hechsher mitzvah or the mitzvah itself. In the Lulav, or some similar scenario, and I have to spend the money, but that money is not the mitzvah. The money gets me the Lulav, which I can do the mitzvah with. Gets me the masses, I can do the mitzvah with. So there the halacha is, where the mitzvah, the money is the mitzvah itself, so then he says we have what we call shibudim. There's a lien. The bank doesn't have a lien. The Torah has a lien. You have to do it. You owe the money. you're Yisrael, your wife's Yisrael, you had a firstborn son, natural birth, you owe the money. You can cry for mercy, but Mikra Adin, right, maybe the Mikra Adin, there's not going to be a cap if that's how much you owe. This notion of there being a shibud to a pidyon haben, not just a mitzvah, but there being like a financial obligation, a lien. So the truth is that I saw there's a sefer, I've quoted it I think a few weeks ago, the Ikvei Minchas Sinach by Rav Edelstein from Bnei Brak. So he quoted something from Rav Chaim Brisker, and I didn't see it inside, I don't know if it is inside anywhere, or it's one of these oral traditions, but he quotes the Grach who asks a similar question. Let's say I take out a loan. I take out a loan because I start a small business, but the pizza shop goes belly up, and now I owe the money back. But it's all of my money. I don't even have it. Maybe I can get it together. I still don't have any extra money. So what's the halacha? You have to pay it back. Like Gemara says, Prius Balcho of Mitzvah. I'm a Vazes. That'll do well in bankruptcy court. I don't have to pay you. I'm a Vazes. I'll give you a fifth of what I have left. That's one of those questions where you know there has to be an answer. But what's the answer?
I don't know if somebody's
mother accounts. Right, so that would be what I would have said. That would be what I would have said. And that may be what Reb Chaim is referring to. The way Reb Chaim is quoted as saying is, that's the, quote, mitzvah aspect. But there's more than a mitzvah. There's a shibud. You owe somebody. And if you owe somebody, Hamavazves is not going to be relevant. So that may help us with Pidyon HaBen. Now I want to try to get in one, maybe two more things. The one is what Joel alluded to before. Question of, is this applicable to everyone? Is this just a minimum? But if I want to be a chassid, I want to be a tzaddik, I can do more. Should I not do more? If we have time, I wanted to see, there's a discussion about whether this applies a little bit to what Joey asked me before, similar, but the question of whether this would perhaps have different rules if the mitzvah in question was saving somebody's life. But I don't know if we might run out of time before that, so let's just do this final issue, which is, as you put it, the Bill Gates question. Can somebody who afford it just give away what we call in modern parlance, a limousine liberal? He can give away as much as he wants because he's still going to have plenty left. He's not worried as much as the people who ironically have less. So, very good. Hold that thought. I think you'll be proud of yourself momentarily, if you're not already. Very good. You're very good. You'll hear when we bring out the grow, you'll see, I think, you're exactly where the grow is headed. So, part of this comes from the Shita Sarambam. We don't have time to develop it, but the Rambam, as he often is a very complex Shita. There's three different places where the Rambam speaks about this. He speaks about this at the end of Hilchos Erechin, where he is mashma that you shouldn't give more, because after all, it doesn't make any sense. You're going to impoverish yourself. However, in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, where the Rambam discusses Hilchos Tzedakah, he says, quote, it's a mitzvah min ha-muvchar. And the Rambam says, somebody who wants to be cheap can get 10%, can left. Mitzvah min ha-muvchar, the most generous person, mitzvah min ha-muvchar should give chomesh, 20%. Doesn't sound like you can't give more, but he's also not so anti-it. But then, the cost of Ashlishi is that the Rambam in the Parashah Mishnayis on Peah says, not only are you allowed to give more than a chomesh, it's a midas chasidus. Alavai, you should give more. How do you put this all together? So, one issue, which was, I forget now, someone else raised before, but I was holding it for now, Rav Asher Weiss suggests in the Minchas Asher, that perhaps what the Rambam is getting at, which maybe others hold as well, is that this is really not a din. It's an Eitzah Tova. Chazal is giving you an Eitzah. So the Eitzah will depend, right? Eitzahs need common sense. Sometimes people don't have common sense. They have to ask other people who have common sense. But Eitzahs are common sense. You need to know how to apply this. For certain people, it'll apply in one way. Other people, apply another way. And therefore, the one place where the Rambam is very stark against it is not in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, because he doesn't feel that it's a halacha you can't give. Whereas it's at the end of Erechin. Now, why Erechin and Matnas Aniyim, I don't have an answer for. I didn't see Rav Asher Weiss alluded to it. But I think his other point, which is a fair one, is, as I alluded to before, the Rambam, when he's talking about Midos or Chasidus or Musar, he often uses that at the end of the halachos. And that's why did he do it at the end of Erechin? Because he's not speaking halachically. He's speaking more Musardik. So that's why he put it at the end there. Now you could ask, why did he put it at the end of Matnas Aniyim? I don't have an answer for that. I don't know if he does either. But the idea, that's why it's not Matnas Aniyim, it's at the end. But the real thing is that it's an Eitzah Tova. But if you can afford to do more, it's a Midas Chasidus, why not? And the truth is that seems to be the composite of the Rambam, but it's not so poshut. This seems to be a machlokas rishonim, really. The Bach quotes from the Rosh that even a rich person should not give away his money. Why? So the way he puts it is because what if you're giving away your money now? You're infatuated with this cause, with this tzedakah, with this ani. And tomorrow, there'll be another disease, and there'll be another yeshiva, and there'll be another ani, and then you won't have any money for them. You have to be a chacham. You have to know that, unfortunately, tzarchi amcha merubim. There'll be other causes. Don't give all your money away. That's the... Moreover, Joey, that was your cue. The gra in that Shnos Eliyahu, the very same gra, Joey, who holds this halacha la Moshe Misinai, if you look at his lashon, he says, Otzer levazvez yoser menachomish, exactly as you anticipated. That he holds, again, perhaps connected, as you're suggesting, because of the way he understands it to begin with, he holds you shouldn't do it. It's wrong. Usser.
If he chose a lack of maybe by giving away everything, he chose a lack of
people. Why? For talking that I'll get more.
No, if you're talking my money, I have control of my money. It's control of his money.
So that's why I'm giving away, because it's his.
Yeah, but you never know what I mean. If,
okay. I would have said that shows more bitachon. But again, the question is whether it's... But, you know, that's the old joke with the guy in the helicopter. Right? Sometimes bitachon is shtus. So that's why I think you shouldn't give it away. But I wouldn't have said that it shows non-bitachon. But maybe you're right.
Well, I can see that. I can definitely see what you're saying. Like, girls see it. It's almost like gaiva. Like, it's my money. I'm giving it away.
Okay, maybe.
A person who says tomorrow, like, what am I going to do tomorrow? Is it Tani Amuna? A person who says, what will I have tomorrow?
Right.
I put it all away today. Right. I won't have anything tomorrow.
So you're saying like
that?
Okay.
I definitely
can
see that argument.
Right, right, okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this shaila also. 20th century. He asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe held, you should not give it all away. He says, Lavar min hatzalas nefashos. If you could save somebody's life, you should give anything you have. But Lavar min hatzalas nefashos, Rav Moshe said, even if you can afford it, do not give more than a chomish. I mean, do you give it to one son and not the other? You mean tzedakah as opposed to yorshim?
Yeah.
Is that what he did? He sifted his kids? Oh, he didn't have kids. Okay, no! The Weinberg Foundation.
He has a son.
Huh? Nebuch. Okay. If you stiff your son in a way that he still has $2 billion, it's Nebuch, all right. Okay? The Bach, however, quotes others. The Ran, who says, no, the rich person can give it all away. The Chochmas Adam seems to hold that he suggests that that's what the Rambam Perashat Mishnah meant. When he said, Amidus Chassidus, okay, that's for a wealthy person, can afford it. The Chavos Yair is a tshuva where he says a wealthy person can give more. The Min Chassid, so Dayan Weiss, was asked this question. He quotes from Moshe Feinstein. He says, with all due respect, I disagree. Now, his term is an usher muflug. Real wealth. What does that mean? I don't know. It used to mean being a millionaire, now means being a billionaire. I don't know. But he says an usher muflug can give away all of his money, he can give more than the chumash if he wants. There's again a number of different questions, and we can understand, I guess, really both sides. I'll just add again in 1 minute or less, the final issue I wanted to get to, which we won't do justice to, is the issue of atzalos nefashos. So I referred to a moment ago that Moshe Feinstein held that might be an exception. You have to give even more money away. And the truth is that there's many who say this. The Chavetz Chaim has a sefer, a very famous sefer, called Avas Chesed. We discuss a lot of Chesbonam L'Chaverov. So there in the Simen Chav, chapter 20, he discusses this. And he also holds that for atzalos nefashos, you have to give away more. I didn't have a chance to see it inside, but I saw quoted from the journal Maria, which is one of the contemporary Torah journals, so I saw that the Rav Weiss quotes that Rav Yashiv apparently disagreed. Rav Yashiv had a limud, a whole drush, which Rav Asher Weiss does not like. But he quotes that Rav Yashiv held that there should be no difference between Atzalos Nefashos and other mitzvahs. Even then, you only are chiv to give up to Chomish. Rav Asher Weiss feels very strongly, almost like a moral... you have to give all money. But he adds, which is, I think, relates a little bit to what I said before about Pidyon Shvuyim, which is that if I don't have to give all my money away because you guys are hiding your money for a rainy day. In other words, if we have Nebuch, a person in the community, we can all save. So in theory, maybe if there was no one else to give, I'd give away all my money. But if other people could, if each one gave us a little bit, we'd have enough money, but you guys don't want to give it all, that doesn't mean that I blive a chiyuv for me, that I have to give all my money. That's the last point Rav Asher Weiss makes, it like saving the day for you. If everyone has to give everything, that would be one thing. Or there is nobody else, you're the only person. But if it's really there are other people who could give, then you give what you can, and other people hopefully will give. Because other people want to be cheap, doesn't mean that you have to give it all away. But at least in theory, he holds that you do have to give all away. And again, it does seem to be a very strong argument that he makes, because we have many makoros to speak about the chiyuv to sometimes perhaps even risk your own life, right? This is the old issue. I remember when I was a kid, there was a football player who was driving down and he saw a girl drowning in a lake or in a, you know, and he jumped in to save her, he saved her and he died. And every summer there's one story like this, Nabuch. The Good Samaritan story. So that's a shaila. You have to put yourself in suffet pekuach nefesh, sakanas nefoshos, to save somebody else. Some poskim say yes. There's a radvaz that discusses, what if I don't want to give up, I'm not going to give up my own life, but I'll lose a limb, sakanas aver, to save someone else's life. Very, very powerful shailas. So he discusses this back and forth. So the fact that you have these kind of shailas says the Rosh HaWeiss, kavachomer, ben menosha kavachomer, you got to give away your money. Maybe, again, I have to see Rav Yashiv inside before I know why he disagreed. But there is that discussion as well. Shekhayach, good Shabbos. Yeah.